And good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable, hour number one. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Time to begin this morning's panel here at 9:11 in the morning. And joining us today, Alan Shartok.
Hello, how do you do?
Hello, nice to have you.
Publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, Ira Fussfeld.
Hi, Ira. I can't do that accent.
You can't do that. Hello.
Associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain. Hiya, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
You know, Ray, when my mother would walk down the streets on Fire Island, and if there was an arch enemy, and they would have to confront each other because it's very narrow walks, and you, how do you do?
How do you do? That's why you say, how do you do to me? I understand. Yeah. Well, we begin on a somewhat of a sad note today. Former Governor David Patterson's father has died. Basil Patterson died at 87.
He was a great man. Yep. And one of the aristocrats of, you know, of the black political class in Manhattan and in the state. And a beautiful man. I mean, really, terrific guy.
He was the first African-American Secretary of State
in
New York in the 70s.
Yeah.
And was in the state Senate.
Oh, no, he was a go-to guy.
You'd remember this. He was affiliated with SUNY New Paltz in the early 70s. I believe Dr. Neumeier, who was the president at the time, brought him in as an advisor of some sort. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, it rang a bell. Yeah, it rang a bell, yes.
So anyway, we remember Basil Patterson, who passed away at age 87.
And I'm a big David fan. I mean, I know he's had his issues. But I really like the guy. He's a terrific guy, and they did a great job of raising his son, who became the governor for a little while, mm-hmm. who pulled one of the best single things I have ever seen in the history of politics. He had done a lot of things, which, you know, normal politicians would run away from. But
you mean prior to being governor? Things?
Yeah, personal things.
I see.
Like, you know, women and sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right, sure.
And
all that stuff.
And instead of, you know, waiting for the inevitable to happen one thing after another, he called all the reporters in the day he was sworn in, and he brought them into a room and said, okay, we all know I did these things. Here they are. And he laid them all out, you know, putting it to sort of rest.
Interesting strategy. How is it that he, you may have talked about this, why is he have a portrait in the Hall of Portraits, but Governor Spitzer's portrait is not there yet?
I don't know. Sometimes it takes a long time now. As you know, Mario Cuomo would not allow his portrait to be put up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting, as a sort of semi-biographer of my well-known mm-hmm. book, Me and Mario, I can tell you that there's a part of that guy who eschewed honors.
Nice.
He didn't like it. And I don't know what motivated that. As a bit of an amateur psychologist, I think it may have been that he never thought it was quite enough. So, you know what I mean? So... But that's only my own.
Okay, that's your own theory.
Well, there is a portrait of Governor Mario Cuomo
now
hanging.
Yeah. And his son took me around up there and showed me where it was going to be and how proud he was that he was getting to put it up and that it was finally going to get done.
All right, let's go on to something we didn't cover yesterday, and it seems to be escalating hourly. Ukrainian security forces kill three pro-Russian protesters. This is from the New York Times. Ukrainian security forces killed three pro-Russian protesters, wounded 13, took 63 captive in a firefight overnight. The clash was the most lethal so far in the east of the country. The Ukrainian minister said pro-Russian protesters had tried to storm a base used by troops in the newly formed National Guard, which is drawn from volunteers who took part in last winter's protest movement against the government. And yesterday there was a bit of a humiliation for the new government. They have mounted a military operation to confront pro-Russian militants, and it didn't go so well. It turned out that 21 armored vehicles were grabbed and weapons seized and everything else. So we have Vladimir Putin now saying, hey, I assert my right to use force if need be. And it's looking like perhaps, as far as he goes, need might be.
Well, what would the justification of that force be, that Russians who are living in Ukraine need to be protected by Russian soldiers?
Let me ask you a question, Mike Spain and Ira Fussfeld and Alan Shartok. What justification does he need except to his own people who are already sold on this? I mean, he doesn't seem like he's caring too much about justifying to the West.
I think you're right. I mean, he's wildly popular over all of this. He has might makes right, and he's, according to him, I'm sure, and he's doing what he's doing. And I don't see the strategy. Look, what am I, a very puny, not substantial when it comes to weight person.
All right,
and I don't know what the answer is. I can't figure out what the natural response from the West should be in order to win this thing. I don't see it.
Is there a win? Can there be a win?
Yeah. What would you regard as a win? Just holding off the rest of Ukraine from falling into Russia's hands?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Holding off the Russian hordes from coming in and grabbing the country. But maybe I should defer to somebody like Ira, who
I'm an expert in this.
Carries a lot more.
He's from Kingston, and that's much closer to the Ukraine.
Right, so. I carry a little more weight than Alan does. I would just say what I said about a month ago or so on this program. Nobody knows what's in this man's head and how far he thinks he wants to or should go, but it just seems to me the world economy is such that he has to be looking over his shoulder, although he is not. It doesn't seem like he's looking over his shoulder right now. The impact of sanctions, particularly if sanctions are expanded and become tougher, it will get his attention. There is evidence that it is already harming the economy,
the
in
markets,
Russia.
But the Russian market.
I just want to. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's just come over the various things that Russia's Federated Council has now given Putin the right. To
right.
intervene.
Like they have it to give, yes.
Well, you know, you always find somebody to legitimize you, the right to intervene militarily.
Okay.
The Russian people want to go back to the days when there were lines to get bread and toilet paper? I mean, they now have an economy that is respectable and much more lucrative than it was in the old days. And if this action ultimately squeezes that economy back to where it used to be, are the Russian people going to put up with
they
that?
They don't care, but I do think you're right about one thing. Well, there's nothing more important than toilet paper.
I wouldn't say that they wouldn't care, but it's important to recognize, and the news reports have pointed this out in the last few days, that, you know, Europe depends an awful lot on Russia for gas and oil. And Russia exports a lot of oil to Europe, and of course they run natural gas to Europe, and it's very dicey. They don't want to see a Ukraine that's dominated by a Euro-centric economy, and so this is still playing out.
I want to mention one thing that I forgot to mention. We'd love to hear from you if you want to weigh in. Roundtable@wamc.org is our email address. Keep them brief. Alan will try to read as many as he can during the program. Roundtable@wamc.org. Now, President Obama last night went on CBS News with Major Garrett and said it was absolutely clear that Russia had violated Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Apparently, there will be more consequences. Have the previous consequences done any good?
But Tony, T.O. and I, had a response. The U.S. would invade Mexico and annex sovereign Mexican lands to protect Americans. Oh, wait. In the words of Rosanna Scarmadella, never mind.
Roseanne.
Yeah, that's right.
The
right.
real one or the image?
Yeah, but you know, what Mike brought up was discussed this morning on one of the cable programs, and an economist had all sorts of charts and graphs about the potential impact of the oil and natural gas sales, importing and exporting. And he said, in effect, that if in fact the Russians... if in fact Europe, which gets a lot of its oil from Russia, if they decide to squeeze Russia out and go on the market and look to buy oil elsewhere and natural gas elsewhere, it will impact the price on everybody.
Yep.
So that we here will be paying
absolutely
as a result because of the supply and demand question. So it's very complicated.
And you know, John checked in.
All right.
And he says, Putin says yesterday Ukraine was called weak, but really weren't they just playing nice, in quotes. Putin says he has a right, in quotes, to protect his people. Doesn't every government have a duty, in quotes, to protect its territorial integrity? Doesn't Ukraine have a right to protect its people inside of its own borders? And that's from John.
Well, and remember, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Ira Fussfeld is here. Mike Spain at Alan Chartok. I'm Ray Graff. We'll take a brief breather and be back.
Support comes from Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh. Adult degree completion programs offering bachelor's degrees in accounting, business, psychology, human services, and more. MSMC.edu. Unusual wedding rings and more in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Working with New York Diamond District artisans to create customized jewelry. UnusualWeddingRings.com. And Proctor's, presenting Lincoln Mayorga and Sherry Bauer Mayorga, American Snapshots, 200 Years of American Song, with guest Otto Gardner and Ted McKenzie. May 1st, 7:30 p.m., proctors.org.
Okay, we're back on the roundtable. 9:22 is the time. It's our panel today. Alan Chartok is here. Publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, Ira Fussfeld, is here, and associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain. By the way, have you seen the new app? Make sure you take WAMC with you. Download
That's
our
right.
new mobile app for
it's
streaming
terrific.
Audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Go to the iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. Our Mr. Job has done stellar work on this one.
By the way, he really has.
Yep.
And I can tell you that the old one, which he also designed, didn't work. But this this one is really terrific, and I use it all the time. No matter where in the world you are, you'll hear WAMC.
And I have the old one, so will I get it automatically updated through
my
iTunes?
Delete the old one.
We have to load it all
start
over
again.
Again.
You okay. may or you may not, and you can.
We don't know. That's
back.
A good. That's a very good.
Normally, when you update an app, it will automatically update.
Okay. We've done that. We'll mention the email address again at roundtable@wamc.org. Now, Bloomberg, Citizen Bloomberg now, ponying up $50 million to fight the NRA head-on. This is from our own website. Billionaire Michael Bloomberg's plan to invest $50 million in what he describes as a mom-driven, grassroots effort to support pro-gun safety candidates grabbed headlines yesterday and energized gun control activists. The commitment, the former New York City mayor says, aims to beat back the profound political influence of the National Rifle Association in 15 targeted states to, quote, make them afraid of us, he told NBC's Today Show. We'll start with Ira.
Well, I applaud him. I'm all for the effort. I think it's great. I fear that even his $50 million will be a drop in the bucket as opposed to what the pro-gun lobby has. But the only other thing that strikes me about this story, we were bemoaning again a couple of weeks ago in the wake of the Supreme Court decision, the impact of money on our politics. And this is, you know, clearly he wants $50 million to help boost his candidates, as is his right, legally and otherwise right now. And it's just, I'm on the side of the gods with him here, but I wish that this money was not necessary for the whole process to move forward and to get the kind of candidates that can answer the NRA to get involved.
So well, let me see if I get this straight, Ira. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure
yeah.
I understand what you're saying. You frown on the way is giving all this money, but you agree with the potential outcome.
I don't frown on it because I know that it's necessary. I only wish that the money that he is providing and that the people on the other side are providing was not so heavy in the process. That's what we were bemoaning in the Supreme Court decision.
Well, yes, but if this is the name of the game,
without question,
and if we're talking about
yes.
guns all over the
yes.
place, I say God bless
him. Oh, sure. That's the way I started. I agree with Bloomberg. I agree with the cause, and I'm glad that he has this kind of money to spread. I just wish the money wasn't necessary to get this done.
Well, it's a different strategy. Rather than going after members of Congress, he's going to target 15 states where they're going to actually make contributions and campaign on behalf of legislators trying to work it from the state angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to portray it as a grassroots effort and support mothers, you know, who they say will even go door to door looking to, spread the message of the danger of handguns and guns in general and promote gun safety. It might, I don't know, you know, it's Mothers Against Drunk Driving, for example, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes the people who are the most rational are the people who see the pain that a particular ill will cause, and maybe this will be more effective.
It'll be interesting to see what those who decry the big money in politics and those who say, you know what, there are too many fat cats putting in millions and millions and millions of dollars, what those people say when there is a cause that they may be more aligned with.
Well, Raymond, shame on you.
shame on me for asking a question?
Yeah, well, the question was a loaded question. The fact of the matter is that the Supreme Court of the United States, 5-4, has laid out an advantageous position for rich people to influence our politics. I don't like it. There are other people who don't like it. But that's the game. From now on, that's what the Constitution says until the Supreme Court changes it. And Ira may have problems with it. You may have issues with it. But in the end, here comes this guy. He's earned all of this money. People are being murdered left and right. And he's basically laying it out. And I got to say, considering all of the way that the game is designed, terrific.
Well, let me ask you this, Alan. Do you think sure. that the large investment by Bloomberg will backfire, has the potential to backfire, and will just embolden the NRA types because they don't want this liberal New York rich man spending money against them and actually backfire on them?
You know, Mike, it's a very good point. And as always, you're very perceptive. It was the first thing I thought of when I said this is a godsend for the NRA, you know, because when they see this, they're going to use it in the same way the Republicans use Pelosi. You know, you got to send me money to stop Pelosi. You got to send me money to stop
Obamacare,
Bloomberg.
Yeah, right.
And they will do that. However, I believe all they've allocated to this fight, the NRA up to now, is like $3 million. And he has $300 million. That's a lot of money.
Well, apparently the NRA spent about $20 million in the 2012 campaign cycle.
I see.
That's a couple of years ago. Interestingly, Bloomberg said, he insisted yesterday, he's not undertaking a battle of dollars with the NRA. Really? Well, then what is he doing?
He's
undertaking a battle of dollars.
Well, that's right. And as I say, the difference between some of us is that I think it's great.
Part of the problem here is that he is not going to change the minds of the staunch pro-gun advocates. The message that he has is one of you're not going to lose your Second Amendment rights. You can still have a gun to protect yourself, etc. He wants to get guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, and that should make pro-gun people feel better, except they don't believe it. The mindset
yes,
is
right.
No, we're opening the door, and even though you say you're not going to take our guns, you're going to take our guns. So he's got to get the middle.
Yeah, and you know, the only difference here is, and I'm sorry for saying you know to that person who called in yesterday, Gabrielle Giffords is a face of this who says, I am pro-gun. So it changes the equation, perhaps. Listen, we're out of time in the first half hour. Mike Spain is here. Ira Fussfeld is here. Alan Shartok is here. Ray Graff is here. You are here if you email us, roundtable@wamc.org. Back after the news. Great music. I feel like I should be bowling in the Big Lebowski right now. That's good stuff. It's 9:36. It's the Roundtable. Our panel for this morning consists of Ira Fussfeld, emeritus, I would say, of the Daily Freeman is fair, associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, our own Alan Shartok. I'm Ray Graff. You can join the conversation by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. And at 9:36 on a Thursday morning, we have mail.
We do. Vincent called, Vinny. Why doesn't Bloomberg simply buy a few of the major gun manufacturers, not to close them down, but just to shift their position that opposes universal background checks and ultra-capacity magazines?
Heard that one posited before,
well,
by the way.
Well, there you go. And Mike called and said NRA is a Second Amendment argument. Bloomberg is against NRA, thus against my right to defend myself. Ironic that Bloomberg, a billionaire, can afford to hire someone to protect himself, is fighting to limit my right to carry, to protect to carry and protect myself and my family.
Okay.
But there's a an example of somebody who is not listening to what Bloomberg says. Bloomberg insists that that's not what he wants to do, but he either doesn't hear it or he doesn't believe them.
Or doesn't want to hear it. And Liam called and used the dirty words, so we never use those on here. And somebody wants to give us a small business loan.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And
got to get his spam.
yes, we have one.
Something bad just happened here. I don't know what it was.
It wasn't good.
Let me put it that way. Okay, go back to this thing. And now Dolores says, Dolores says, I would like to hear you discuss what your thoughts on Senator Leland Lee of California was doing, dealing illegal guns, et cetera, to undercover FBI agents, and to how many people who legally own guns have shot and killed people. What is going on in Nevada to a man named Bundy, and who wants to buy his property?
And we did discuss that on Monday.
And we talked about Leland Lee on the Media Project, I believe, two weeks ago.
Yeah, the problem is people don't listen to the radio 24
all the time.
Hours a day.
And nor should they. They should have a life. So
and they had a complete total recall. And
that is their life. Okay, so Barbara says, Dear Roundtable Group, please note the date of this announcement. It's the same day as the Virginia Tech killings and the Columbine ones as well. My nieces attended Vermont. One was safely locked in classroom during this event, and our family continues...
Virginia Tech, that is.
To remember that. Dolores said, I would like to hear you...
We got Dolores. Thank you, Dolores.
I'm so sorry.
We had a gun incident at SUNY New Paltz campus the other day where a non-student went to his girlfriend's dorm room and allegedly not only pulled a gun but squeezed the trigger twice and misfired. Whoa. So there was a tragedy.
It
I don't know, it misfired, I guess.
And let's see here. Somebody named George said Bloomberg can succeed in pumping money into the issue because every poll points out the rank and file NRA members are for regulation of guns. The NRA leadership does not represent the beliefs of its membership. But that of the gun industry, you know, yesterday there was a point at which we were talking about how there are people to the right of the leadership of NRA.
Absolutely.
That was a couple of days ago when Mike was on the New York State version.
Right.
Don't you think the NRA has been very skillful? And I think that writer is correct that it represents the gun industry, but it portrays itself as a representative of the gun users, and that's where it's rallied its base when its reason for being is really to defend the gun industry.
Well, I think we make an overstatement if we make a blanket description of all the NRA members just as we would a WAMC member or anything else. So there are those who have different beliefs.
There's a long letter, too long, from Dr. Ronald, who says, you all are really quite interesting. I particularly find intriguing the rather obvious things you miss. Let's play the irony game.
Okay.
And the discursive bizarrely continues. Apparently, or so, one can infer from the language of the current interim leader of the Ukraine, Arseniy Yatsenyuk. It's okay for the anti-Yanukovych protesters to take over the government buildings, but it's not okay for the opponents of the current regime in Kiev, who take over the government buildings, who Ukraine's leader dubs terrorists, to do the same thing. If one can't see the irony, hypocrisy, and attempts to demonstrate demonization here, that somebody is simply unable to think critically. And he could add more, he says, but I'm not going to read that. Okay, so that's, keep them short, folks.
It's a good point.
And
the show's over if you don't.
Right. And then, I'm getting really confused.
Okay,
here.
Well, let's...
but there's more.
All
yeah,
right, sir.
There's more. No, that's it for now.
All right, and then we'll come back and read some more.
But then there's Jim. Jim just checked in. Okay, here we go.
All right, Jim.
The more folks... It's too long. I'm telling you, Jim, it's too long. The more this topic gets aired by rational folks like yourselves, the better we have and should have gun rights. Okay? The problem is confusion about rights. Anti-gun control types have the idea that gun rights mean guns of any type, any place, anytime. We have experience with where this leads. Yep. Okay.
Well, that's great. And the email address, once again, roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. So we're going to shift gears here. It's Casino Mania, Mike Spain. It is Casino Mania.
It sounds like one of the slot
games.
It's
crazy, I tell you. Just crazy.
Well, you picked up today's Times Union. You'd read a lot about casinos. Three different meetings were going on in three different communities where the topics of proposed casinos came up. Of course, the big one is in Albany, where they had a public hearing on what they're calling the E23 casino plan that would put a casino right at exit 23 of the New York State Thruway, just on the southern end of the city of Albany. It was the topic of a public hearing at the Giffen Elementary School last night. There were people speaking in favor of it, people speaking against it. The big fear is the gambling addiction and crime that is often associated with casinos. But the proponents, led by David Flom, a Rochester real estate developer who is the primary backer of this, spent a lot of time talking about how this casino will benefit the city of Albany. It'll provide $10 million a year. It'll provide $12 million annually in school funding spread around eight local counties. It will also create 1,500 construction jobs and 1,800 permanent jobs. And the emphasis would be hiring city residents, in particular minorities, is what they're saying. Now, this plan calls for a casino with a water park, a hotel complex, and an equestrian center with riding trails through the hills and dales of the very southern end of Albany, which is a very woodsy area.
That's a novel approach, by the way.
Yeah.
That's something you're not going to see in Vegas all that often.
No.
MGM Grand, when it was built in Vegas, fancied itself as a family destination and built a mini Disneyland, and they got out of that idea within a few years. It didn't work. People go to Vegas not to have family entertainment. They go to leave stuff there.
Well, they're partnering. Flom is partnering with Capital Region OTB on this one, which would have an elaborate betting parlor within the casino. And that would also generate more money for OTB to distribute to local communities. And
while we're on that subject of the OTB, would the OTB be entering into this without certain top political people being involved and saying, you should do this?
When you ask that question, their answer is that they are only doing what they already do elsewhere in the community, and that is buy real estate, run off-track betting parlors, and operate.
And so nobody is on the other end of the phone, you think? Governors.
What are you trying to say here?
I'm just wondering whether anybody in this government does things like that might run counter to the instincts people who are in charge.
Well, in fairness, that is the charge of OTB, and that is to raise money for local communities through parimutuel betting, off-site betting. And this is going to be a nice location for them. It fits in with the Las Vegas-style gambling that will go on elsewhere in it.
So you really think that anybody, considering the way that this government is run here, do you think anybody would really, in OTB, do that without checking in?
I think it has broad-based political support, sure, because communities will benefit
based
from this. Well, you seem to be speaking around in circles.
Yes.
What are you really saying?
You're like Yoda all of a sudden.
I thought I was... Wait a second. You really think I look like Yoda?
No, I didn't say you look like Yoda.
No, that does not riddles you speaking.
Just refresh my memory. How many casinos are approved and sites are going to be approved?
There's one up here, right?
Well, there's four upstate casinos.
Yeah, but one up
here.
Two
could be in a particular area. In this case, people expect two will be in the Catskill region, which is outside of the Capital Region. But it is potentially possible for two to be in the Capital Region, although no one expects that.
And if you remember, Saratoga was first looked at, and then the people rose up as one.
We'll see. And
we'll
that's
see
the
exactly.
Next part of this.
Ray, thanks for that segue. There was a meeting in Saratoga Springs last night by the it was a public hearing of the proposal by the owners of the Saratoga Harness Track in Racino that has video lottery terminals for a $30 million expansion to add a hotel convention center with a 2,000-seat venue to do entertainment. And they are also intending to apply for a casino license. And the city has so far said they're against it, but they're open to at least hearing the pitch that the casino people are making. The mayor says that they'll listen, but they have been strongly opposed to it within the city of Saratoga Springs.
So if there are four upstate casinos, and if Albany does not pass the muster, and or like Saratoga indicates that it doesn't want a casino, where do the other two go, or could all four be in the Hudson Valley Catskills?
Well, one would be I believe that they're trying to get at least one in each of the upstate regions.
I believe so.
Yes. So the Catskills, the greater capital region, and then central New York, you know, from Binghamton up towards Watkins Glen.
So one comes into Albany, it will not be to the exclusion of one in the Catskills.
Or two in the Catskills.
That's correct. And it's pretty much assumed, and this could be wrong, that the place where two will be is the Catskills, because it's a lot of real estate.
Because there's a lot of infighting in the Catskills, Hudson
sure.
Valley, about that. There are more than two suitors.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And where they put them, and if they put one in Orange County, that's going to be closer to New York City.
Which is intramural. There's an intramural fight about that, because most people in the Hudson Valley Catskills believe Sullivan County for sure with one, if not two. But if only one in Sullivan County, then one in Ulster County at the former Neverly, which is not that far from Sullivan County, and it's part of the broader Catskill-Borscht Belt. That's where it was felt that that's where these things ought to go to revive the tourism and hotel industry
in
that
part.
Well, I don't have much sympathy, I can tell you right now, for casinos. But if you're going to have them, that's where they should go.
I would say
Saratoga. This is an interesting angle.
Yeah.
It seems to me, to use the parlance of casinos, their hand, to some extent, being forced by the sudden interest in Albany. Now, as you correctly say, there was widespread and widely publicized sentiment against it. I talked to a businessman whose name I won't mention during a Vox Pop off the air, who said, I spoke to my brethren in the business community and said, well, okay, we don't want this, but what if somebody very nearby gets this, then what happens? And now they're confronted with something that looks like it might be legitimate.
Yeah, this Albany one is getting a lot of traction, getting a lot of political support. Some of the leadership in the city of Albany, the mayor, Kathy Sheehan, and others are supporting it. They like it because it's not going to have an entertainment venue that will compete with the Times Union Center, the Palace Theater, and Capitol Rep. They like it because it's not going to be a giant convention center. It'll actually complement the planned Albany Convention Center.
That's interesting that you say that, because in the Saratoga case, this
very competitive.
2,000 seat thing.
That's the venue, which is conventional for a casino to have.
Yeah. Right, and that will compete with Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and it could compete with the other convention venues in downtown Saratoga Springs. So,
and it gets worse than that, because a lot of when an entertainer signs on with one of these places, you know, they often sign
exclusivity agreements.
That they're exclusive, and they won't be anywhere within, let's say, 100 miles or 50 miles of the first place. And that really might throw
this has also come up in Ulster County because of the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston, which is getting some big name acts, and they fear that a casino in Ulster County with an entertainment venue would take away from their ability.
That is a big concern, led by Philip Morris of Proctor's and several other operators of entertainment venues. They want to keep the entertainment component out of it.
I'm puzzled from my vantage point, 90 miles from Saratoga, about the apparent disdain for this in Saratoga Springs, which after all has the racetrack and also has a history of a casino going back to the gay 90s.
We'll see how that changes.
I'll take the other side on that one. Thank you. You might not like that if you'd be talking like that. A, if you live there, and B, because there's something called enough.
Yeah.
You know, enough. Yeah. We have gambling. This is enough gambling. We don't want more gambling.
Now, unfortunately, we have to take a break here in a moment, but Rensselaer is also in the mix. Even Schenectady, there was a
he had a meeting last night.
So this is a free-for-all, and we'll see where it goes.
And by the way, there are so many casinos that the idea of any of them doing real well, given the watering down effect, is significant.
Ira Fussfeld makes a point. Mike Spain has made some points as well. He's here. Alan Shartok always makes points. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Support comes from Subsidium Technologies, working to help enterprises use custom communications and cloud services to help improve information technology environments. SubsidiumTech.com. And Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring Easter lilies, tulips, and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Sunday, 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com.
Hello again, boys and girls. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:52 is the time. It is the Roundtable panel. It has been a brisk hour thus far by some accounts. Mike Spain is here. Ira Fussfeld is here. Alan Shartok is here. You're there as well at roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, the mailbag keeps flowing
forth. Boy, it does. A called. A called and said, at the time of the Second Amendment, it took an expert in capital letters shooter 1 minute to get off 4 shots. Now guns enable you to kill dozens in a matter of seconds. So if you want to kill several people in a short time, gun is the only way for an individual anyway who cannot manufacture a bomb. And Paul, our old friend Paul, called. Hi, guys. The Gilda Radner Nevermind character was Emily Latella. Rosanna Dana.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay. Good for him.
Thank you.
And then Tony Cole wrote it again. He also probably knows that the $64 question. Kudos to Ira for saying muster and not mustard. You know, the $64 question is the big final question. So when talking about Albany's $16 million deficit, the big question is still the $64 question. Easy. First dollar question, next $2 question, next $4 question, next $8 question, next $16 question, penultimate $32 question, then the final $64 question.
Can I get a lifeline? Because I have no idea what's going on.
Me
that
neither.
Was an old quiz show on television.
No, I know that. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going here.
And then Dolores says, I was not able to listen to your program on Mr. Bundy. If possible, could you please reiterate a little before the end of the show?
Well, there's, alas, no time for that. But this is the ranch in Utah?
Utah, where it's the Bureau of Land Management is
grabbed the land, which was really not a land grab, but saying this was federal land.
And Ken is a little ticked off. It sounds as if the panel supports gun control. I thought the point of the panel is to present all sides of the story, which is why we're reading all of these letters.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. Bloomberg would be better served if he threw his money at hunter safety training, therefore enabling a new generation of sportsmen the opportunity to safely handle weapons. As a side note, New York, there's never been a registered handgun used in a murder since the law has required registration. Okay. That's it.
Very good. Yeah. And the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And we have 4 minutes and 45 seconds left. Wonderful news. And we did not mention this. Mike was here on Monday, and we didn't mention it. Union College is the NCAA hockey champ for the year.
Hot stuff.
An amazing performance.
Little place.
With no scholarship dollars.
For
hockey.
They beat Minnesota. And Minnesota has 50,000 people who go there, and right. Union College has about 2,600. One of our columnists pointed out, Pete Iorizzo pointed out, that there are fewer living alumni of Union College than there are students attending Minnesota. So,
and Minnesota is a big hockey program. I mean, Union is too.
They've won it 5 times nationally, Minnesota. Union, of course, never has. It went to the Frozen Four, I believe, a couple of years ago. But for this little college in Schenectady, New York, to have made it all the way and won, and not just won by a hair. I mean, they beat them 7-4. It was
the
last one or two were open net results.
Now, you watched this, Alan. Wasn't it amazing?
Now, I have a question for all of you, because I just was talking to a Union person, an alumni who is incredibly affected to the point of almost tears about them doing this.
It was a beautiful thing.
And so the question I have for you is, here's Union College. It's a wonderful institution. It's a terrific place. It's got standards, you know where. I mean, it's really terrific. And this probably is more important to some people in that community and around that community in terms of impression than all of the good stuff.
Presidents have
does.
Gone there, you know, and several
sure.
cabinet members and
yeah.
Secretary of State has gone there and great
Which president
scientists,
went there
Nobel
again?
Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize winners.
Which
but this
president?
Gets more attention.
Does you remember?
Chester A. Arthur.
Chester A. Arthur.
Chet.
Chet. Oh. He's buried here in Albany.
Well, I'm on record here and elsewhere about how much I don't like the NCAA and all that it implies and all the money and et cetera. But that there are exceptions, and it seems to me that this is one of those classic David and Goliath kinds of things where you have a school this size and you're saying there are no scholarships to
hockey. They don't give athletic scholarships.
Well, I just think that's tremendous.
Isn't it,
though? Because then this is a real sports accomplishment, and they have a right to be proud. I happen to be a big hockey fan, and I did watch this. I don't usually watch college hockey, and there's a sort of a different breed. College hockey is different than college basketball in many respects, even at the scholarship schools. For some reason, at the pro level, it's always been agreed by reporters, and I can attest to it, that hockey players are always the easiest to talk to, the most self-effacing, despite the fact that many of them have no teeth because they punch their brains out.
All right. Or took a hockey puck in the mouth.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it's tremendous. You can't overstate how tremendous this accomplishment was for a school this size without scholarship athletes.
And the big news, the reason we brought this up, besides
big parade.
Big parade today, 4 o'clock, in the city of Schenectady. It's going to be a salute to the national championship Union College hockey
Confetti.
Team. It's going to start at 4 o'clock. They say it'll last 2 hours. They're going to parade from the campus to downtown Schenectady, which is only a few blocks away, and they're going to gather at
City
Hall.
It's going to take 2 hours to go a couple of
blocks?
Well,
you know, it's going to be lots of fire trucks from Niskayuna and Schenectady and Clifton Park and some other communities, and there's going to be politicians and students, and there's going to be the team, and there's going to be speeches, and just everybody will be...
What's the coach's name?
I
forget.
Oh, now you're asking
but
me
his
a question.
Quote, his quote was
coach,
great.
Coach.
I heard him on a sports
Rick
talk.
Bennett. Rick Bennett
talking on a sports radio station a couple of days ago. They said, well, celebration time. No, the kid's got to get back to school.
Yep.
The studying is paramount.
Well, the two of them won't have to worry about it because two have signed with the NHL already.
Really?
Signed or drafted or they may have been
positions.
Future drafts.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, they've signed with the NHL.
Well, that means they were drafted earlier.
Yeah. All right, we have to go. We're done.
Why?
The clock on the wall saith it's time to go. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email. Alan Shartok, thank
you. How'd you do?
Ira Fussfeld, thank you.
Great pleasure to be here.
Mike Spain, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back.
Support comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York. Purchasing estate jewelry, coins, silver, period antiques, fine arts, and collections. MarkLawson.com. And Manix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York. Specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. ManixMarketing.com.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany.